NFL fans, there's a new way to watch your favorite teams.
Feliz Navidad.
What a day for some football, baby.
On December the 25th at 5 p.m. GMT, the Christmas games will stream live on Netflix.
And it's good!
Your Christmas day will be complete with the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens versus Houston Texans live on Netflix. You won't want to miss it.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How are you? Welcome back to the good old U.S.
Thank you. I have not made my way home. I have a little stop over here in New York. I'm in New York City at the moment because I stopped over to see my parents before I head back to LA. So it's my last today, I finally return home. I'm so excited. But anyway, it's good to see you, Ronnie. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yes, well, I had a lovely weekend. I went to a little craft festival and fun. I had some family time. And all sorts of fun stuff like that. It was good times.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm excited to be here in New York City. And I'm also really excited that I'm going to be back here. And the next time I'm back here is going to be with you in about 6 weeks or so for the Golden Crappies. It is coming up quickly, okay? This is not a lot of lead time. It is happening. So yeah. That's going to be happening on February 1st of next year at the Town Hall on Broadway. It's so exciting. We hope you all come. We always have so much fun at the Crappies. We are going to assemble a great list of presenters and things to do on stage. So it's going to be really great. So come see us there. And the voting will begin in the new year on all the categories, two rounds like we did last year. So can't wait to see how this all shakes out. And of course, we're doing a larger tour. That's not just the Crappies. That's going to be going all across North America. It's our Mounting Hysteria Tour. You can find tickets for that at watchourcrappens.com. And that's also where the list of the cities is. You can check it out. Hopefully your city is on there. We're still going to hoping to add a few more dates. They just are not quite we're not quite ready yet. But check them out and hopefully you can come see us. And we're really excited to hit the road next year.
It's too much. Too much. I can't believe it's just already going to be a new year and just all this is happening. I'm nervous. Like I woke up like, oh my God, there's so much to do. And I hate that feeling. I know, why do we do this? Somebody else just do it?
I know. Well, the thing is what's so hard is that because we do the Crappies at the beginning of the year, it's just like at this time right now when it's like, time to wind down, time to settle up the year. This is when we're like, oh my God, what are we going to do for the Crappies? Who are we going to get? How are we going to make this happen? So it's very stressful. Like this is our most stressful period of time is from like right now until the Crappies are over.
It's always fun though. You know, it's like, hey, let's put on a show. Hey, anybody can help us? We're like walking around like begging randos who don't even know us to do everything for us. So it should be fun. Let's see what randos we can sucker in this year.
Yeah. Mayor Eric Adams, would you care to join?
No, thanks.
No, thanks.
No, thank you, fucker. Lambaste him. But we will be calling a lot of you Broadway people, so to get ready. Get ready, watch Kristen out. Chenoweth. Hey, Kristen Chenoweth, you need the help right now anyway, because Teresa's fans have been bashing you all left and right. Have you seen that, Ben?
Because
I think she was asked somewhere, probably Watch What Happens or something, like, because she's on Broadway now, and the Jackie Siegel musical Queen of Versailles, which is crazy that she's playing Jackie Siegel. I love that. Friend of the show, Jackie Siegel. Holler, biatch.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she said something like, Teresa's, who's the scariest person on Bravo? And she's like, Teresa, she's scary, you know? She's got dark energy or something. And then the tree huggers came after her. And I think Entertainment Tonight, one of those, did a interview with her. And he was like, oh, my God. So your tree huggers are going after Kristen Chenoweth. She's like, who there? I don't know who that is. What? And he's like, she's a Broadway star. And she said that, you know, you had dark energy or something. She's like, good, good. Then go for her. Go for her then. I'm glad they're doing that. And, you know, Teresa encouraging online bullying as usual. You know, real classy over there, tree.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Tree huggers are, they crack me up. They just really crack me up because they're so invested. Invested already. Let me, don't get me wrong. We're invested, but they are invested. And it's like, really?
For Teresa, they're like Merrill Lynch. Okay. And also, Kristen Chenoweth, my point is you need help right now. Okay. We'll protect you.
Come
to the crappies and we'll protect you. It is a show night. It is a Saturday night. So it's a show night. But someone's dying to work with F. Murray Abraham. Just tell F. Murray Abraham, you know, Ronnie, he's Lebanese. And then come. You know,
yeah,
he doesn't like me anymore.
Yeah, I think Kristen, this is the right move for you right now. I think this is
you need us.
I think you need
Kristen.
To do some
more than we need you. Okay, Kristen, we'll let you in. We'll let you in. Okay.
Anywho, today we are talking.
So here we are today.
Potomac. Sorry, we may have a lag.
Real
because of
Housewives
my hotel Wi-Fi.
Of Potomac. Huh?
Apologies. I said we may have a lag because of my hotel Wi-Fi. Apologies, everyone.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so here we are, Real Housewives of Potomac. The episode is season 9, episode 10. It's called Love in the Fast Lane. I don't know why it's called that. I guess because they're speed dating. But there was, no one's in love. No one's had
no
there's
driving.
No love on this show.
And no one's driving cars. No one's racing cars. So I don't know. It's a sort of a...
Yeah, it's too soon for that pun anyway for this show. There's a drunk driving episode on the show. We don't need to be... talking about that. But we do get one of my favorite things is Karen trying to blame other people for her DUI. This time it's Ray. It's actually Ray's lack of love this time, which is pretty hilarious. Poor Ray. All Ray wants to do is move to Florida. The man is just puttering around the house. You know, he's like the Flesh Roomba on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which is Ken Todd, just like buzzing around the house. But he's like sputtering, like his battery's always dead. This one's like always caught on the rug. You know, Ray. Poor Ray. Just leave Ray alone. And Karen's like, it's all fault for my DUI. So at least we got that. So I'll always be grateful to this episode for that.
I feel like next week it's going to be Karen sitting down, Craig and Austin being like, well, at my lowest point, you weren't there for me. So it's really your fault that I drove over that median.
So we start at Giselle's house with Angel, Adore, and Grace. And Giselle's like, so what? How was work today? And Angel's like, tragic.
Horrible. So bad. Worst day of the
terrible.
Week. Maybe in my life. It was the worst thing that ever happened. And then it just leaves there. It just ends there. We don't get to find out. A, I don't know where they even work. B, because it's not Arizona's. I think that closed down. But like, B, what happened? This is the most interesting thing that has happened this season in Giselle's storyline. And we don't get to find out what it is.
I have a feeling that that's what they say every day when you say, how's work? They're just like, tragic, horrible, terrible, awful. My kind of girls right there.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, I could have called off the rest of the week, but I need the money, so I'll stay. I just
well,
like,
settle
okay.
in. Settle in because it's another exciting Giselle pretending to do stuff with her daughters who really do not want to be around her at all. So she's it's like, are you going? Here's my storyline. My children are leaving me again. I'm like, oh, all right. So she talks about how the kids are going back to college after being back from college. She's got a lot to recover from this episode. And her kids are amazing, and they're graduating with amazing grades. And they're fourth generation on Jamal's side of going to HBCU. So you can talk about what you want about my kids, but they're amazing. And then we get a flashback of Mia going, your boiler is sneaking kids in the back while we were in PR.
Mia really grasping at straws there. But then, I mean, shockingly, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're opening up with yet another scene about the girls finishing school and going to college. But actually, it was relatively short, the amount of time we spent talking about that. Really, the thrust of the scene was Giselle talking about how she's going to court to contest a will because, like, her dad, in the will that her dad allegedly signed, that he left absolutely nothing to Giselle and her daughters. And it was like a will that popped up at the last second. And she's like, he was incapacitated. I was with him. There's no way he could have even signed this. And yet this shows up. This is not a real will. He was all about generational wealth. Like, he would never not give to his granddaughters. It was actually kind of wild when she told the story. Like, it's shocking, you know, like someone is out there actively trying to defraud the estate. Is it his wife?
I thought she said it. Well, maybe she didn't say it, but maybe she was insinuating.
She was alluding to that. I just didn't know if he had a wife or not.
I don't either, but I think she was kind of insinuating because she said, your dad's getting ready to get married again, and that's why I had a conversation with him. So unbeknownst to me, and he was like, I already put everything in a trust for the girls, a trust that cannot be broken. So I thought that that meant that you have to be careful of the new spouse because they'll try and steal your shit. But I mean, I don't know. Somebody did it though. And it was direct. It was right after he had brain surgery. So he was completely out of it. And they just came and I guess grabbed his hand and signed a paper, which hopefully they will go to jail because that is illegal. You cannot do that. Okay.
Yeah. That is such bullshit.
Very bad. So then they start talking about trusts and stuff. And Jamal has put all of the tithing from the past 20 years into a trust for the girls. So they're going to get that. And then Giselle's like, but I want you guys to be careful. And, you know, I also have to start thinking about a will and stuff. And they're like, well, why can't you put your stuff into a trust? And she's like, I'm not putting my shit into a trust for you fuckers. I'm spending mine.
Yeah. You'll get whatever I have left over.
Basically, she was so taken aback. She just paused like, I don't trust. She's like, no, we're not talking about my money. We're talking about your dad's money. Okay.
Yeah.
My money is my money. Your dad's money is our money. Do you understand? Mm-hmm.
So then we go over to Stacy's crash pad. She's hanging out with TJ, and TJ is back to being a morning anchor after he let his mask down last week and showed who he really was. And so he's like, hey, today princess.
He lets his other mask down, his M-A-S-C. He's like, hey, princess, we're going to cook in the kitchen.
I'm going to make you make lunch because I don't want to go to the store. So here we go. I'm going to make you a pizza. We're going to go to Italy. And I got my little chef's hat. So he puts on like a little silk bonnet and everything. And he's just being like wild and goofy and fun. It's like he's aware that he was basically being a dick at the party. So now he's trying to be like, look at me, America. I'm actually a very hilarious person. Okay, back to you, Ron, with sports.
I don't even know if he does know he's being a dick because he's still a dick today. He's just thinks he's being, he's like, here's what I'm here for, filming scenes for the television. I'm like, this is what happens when you give an under five more than five. He's terrible at it. There's a reason you're an under five, sir. Okay. If you're an entire career, just stop. Just stop with the bonnet. Stop with the whole thing. And she's like, that's so sweet. Doesn't Stacy look not into this?
I think Stacy is into it because I think that Stacy is. I think Stacy is always won over by effort. She's like, I just love that he went to a store and he found a bonnet and he put it on. He put it before I even got here. He put it in a cupboard. So I'd be surprised. And that sort of effort, I just really appreciate that.
She's like, wow, are you in a bonnet? Wow, who does that? That is so fun. But I don't know. I get ick feelings from her. I think maybe she was just worried that she needs someone to film with because she's got this new TV show and her husband won't let her film and probably doesn't want the kid to film too much. So she's like, she's pulling.
I mean, it could be that. It could definitely be that. You know, I mean, there's obviously zero chemistry between these two. But I think, I don't know, but there's something like wide-eyed about Stacy that I feel like she's just like, what do they say? In for a penny, in for a pound. So, although she's not really getting the pound, I guess. But you know what I'm saying.
In for the weight, in for the hope for a pound, in for the pound wait list.
In for a penny, in for another penny.
In for a self pound.
2 cents.
In for a penny, in for a masturbation sesh. Okay.
Yes.
So she's like, he's just so crazy. That's why I love him. He just makes me laugh. I'm like, but you're not laughing and you haven't laughed. You know, get out of here. You're a prisoner. You're a prisoner in your own of your own making. So then he squirts a neon green drink into, is it Mountain? What is it? It looks like Mountain
Dew. It looked like Mountain Dew, but I wasn't sure. But he's like, hey, remember this? Remember this? Remember this flavor? She goes, oh my God. Oh wow, I remember these. Wow, that is so sweet. I was definitely getting a vibe of like Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, where like, you know, the girls who don't drink at all, they go nuts on the soda. I was like, this is what TJ is doing right now. He's like, yes, I'm sober.
He was going nuts on it, but she was like, this isn't my favorite soda. This is yours. I'm telling you, this girl's not into it. She was looking at that soda like, thanks for the nuclear waste, bro. And yes. So he's like, oh, you know, I've been stressed, you know, too many lines to learn, TJ. As much fun as Wendy's party was, I just also felt like it was so stressful, not just for you, but for me. And she's like, stressful for you? And he's like, yeah, because, you know, I was like Uber date, where we get to the party, you're holding my hand, and then you're off, but you never checked back in with me.
That's exactly right. You are the Uber date because she's doing a show and she has to shoot scenes with the women at the party. And you're supposed to, like, you know, yuck it up with the men because it's the Real Housewives show. And you seem to have done homework on every other aspect of this relationship except for this part. And
yeah, why he's like, I've been on plenty of sets, but Zoom? I'm usually backstage in the green room. So what's your excuse? She has a leading role, sir. Okay, I know you don't know what that's like. Maybe one day.
Yeah. And then she's like, I don't think that's necessarily fair. And we see a flashback of him saying, hey, I'm going to let you do what you do and I'll just be over there. And then like later on, he's like pissed and he's like, oh, okay, get it together, man. Get it together. I'm warning you. Get it together, man. You don't say, yeah, do your thing, shoot your scenes, and then act upset that she just did exactly that.
Yeah. So she's like, who are you even talking to? And he's like, well, everybody that wasn't you, apparently. And then we see him talking to Ray, Ray being like, I've had a personal computer since they invented wheels on horses.
Have you ever heard of a wallet? Oh, you put money in it? I have one.
I had the first Apple wallet. It was actually an apple that you put coins into. The coins were wood. So that's why worms started going into apples. You eat the wood inside the apple. It was marinated.
I threw it at Isaac Newton, and he invented gravity. So Stacy's like, well, you know, I'm sorry, but it just seemed like there was just one thing after another. He goes, but for hours? She goes, I said I'm sorry, and it will never happen again. I apologize, which I love that she did that. She did like the, like, I'm not discussing this any further. You got the apology out of me. Now, are we going to have your shitty-ass DiGiorno pizza or not?
No kidding. Like, God, we're eating your Costco pizza that you're acting like you're making so much fucking effort towards. And so he's like, okay, then. Like, I guess I'll forgive you. Oh, get rid of him. He's so gross. He's infuriating awful to watch. God, a user who doesn't even give you anything. If a user used my credit card, because you know he bought that shit with her credit card too. He went to the Costco with her card and was like, it's my wife's card. And then bought a bunch of cheap shit to make her later and then acted like he was doing you a favor. She's not even getting your dick. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, if you're not even gonna like do it, then at least get some pizza dough, okay? Don't get the big circle from DiGiorno and then put cheese on it. At least go and get like the Trader Joe's dough and roll it out.
I'm trying not to get offended, but I feel like you're triggering me on purpose. I feel like you're pushing it on purpose, but I'm trying not to get mad. But then you keep saying DiGiorno like it's a curse word, and I'm getting pissed.
There's nothing wrong with DiGiorno, but you're on TV, so let's step it up and try to do, like,
well, let me tell you one thing. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno, bitch. You better back off my DiGiorno. They have a pretty good crust for being a frozen pizza.
Listen, that's great. You know what? I love that you are going to defend TJ on this. I am not going to.
Not DJ. I'm defending DiGiorno. You're calling it DiGiorno. I'm calling it Costco crap.
I'm saying TJ needs to go to TJ's and get some dough because you're on TV. And if you're going to make pizza on TV, you got to step it up. I'm sorry. You got to step it up.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like Jon Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the Children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with. Listen to the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, then she's like, so she's telling us, you know, just because we started going out in public, we're going to have some road bumps. No, that's not a road bump. That's his personality. that's a man bump. Okay.
Yeah. That's a big old man bump. She's like, you know, all the other boyfriends and husbands were there, and I honestly thought TJ would be fine hanging with the boys. No. Well, to be fair, To his credit, he was stuck in a corner with Ray for quite some time while Ray talked about personal computers. That is a little rough, I'm not going to lie.
So then they're eating. He's like, wow, look at me, a professional chef. Yeah. And so he serves this pizza and she's like, wow, large slice. So he's basically fucking her over any chance he gets. He's like, now binge on television for me. Prove that you love me and eat this giant carb. She's like,
but you know it's a shitty pizza. You know it's shitty because she's like, I'm just going to add a little salt to it. Like, if you have to add salt to pizza, you're really fucked up.
It's made of salt. It's frozen pizza.
And I don't think Stacy is like someone who's like a salt addict. We know that TJ makes a shitty pizza.
Yeah. So then he's like, so mediation, have you given any thought to like hiring a forensic accountant? No, sir. I don't think you need to be giving advice on hunting for money that you haven't earned. You fucking user. I hate this guy. Every line he said, he's never going to win a thing with me. I hate everything that comes out of his mouth. Now I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll bet you need to know every nickel that her husband is needing to give her. Back off. Back off the purse, buddy.
Yeah, how about a forensic pizza maker, okay? So
how about a forensic acting class?
He probably is taking that. Like, he has, like, a CSI jacket. He's like, I found a clue. Like, okay, thank you, TJ. We'll call you.
It's a DiGiorno pizza. Somebody else, some lady's head. This lady was murdered by DiGiorno.
Look at this here. There's blood all over this DiGiorno pizza. Wait, no, it's tomato sauce. I apologize.
Wow, I really murdered that DiGiorno. It's me. I'm guilty. Ding. Wiping his mouth.
He starts going, bop, 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 bop. Like, CJ, we don't need you to do the CSI theme song. He's like, who are you?
So then, she's like, we need three appointments. And he's like, three? She's like, yeah. So she's like, you know, I'm trying not to tell him too much because it's not really his business. And he's never been married. So there's only so much he really understands. And this is where I think she's starting to get who she's with. Leave this man.
She's like, he doesn't even know how to season a pizza, so the last thing he needs to know about is my money. So she's like, so the ladies, by the way, said to me that they don't necessarily think it's a good thing for us to move forward romantically, which is what they actually said was, why are you jumping into another relationship so quickly after the first one? You should give yourself some space, which is like a little bit of the way she said it makes it sound like the ladies were sort of cock blocking, which theoretically they were, but she kind of cast them in a slight the wrong way. What'd you say?
There's no cock blocking.
That's true. It's just blocking.
There's no blocking.
DiGiorno blocking.
So, they're like walking around with trays at Costco of cock. They're like, please go get some cock. Just yeah, move away from that cock. So yeah, and also this is Stacy kind of using her friends instead of just telling him her feelings, you know, which she does a lot with him. She's like, well, the girls say we should be having sex. Well, the girls are asking me why I'm not with you when you were not having sex, you know. So she's kind of doing that instead of just saying, hey, loser.
Yeah,
I don't want to be in a relationship. Like, it's weird to be in a serious relationship, especially if I'm not getting any, you know. So she does that. Yeah. And he's like, well, what? And she goes, yeah, they said they think it's a mistake. And so he's like, well, I get that. And listen, I'm not offended by what they said at all. Because you know what? Let's face it. We're co-stars on a television show. And that basically makes us family. I'm a television star. So here's my take. Divorce is traumatic. Because it's a loss. And I just don't think sex with people that you don't care about fixes that. Excuse me. It most certainly does. And I would appreciate it if you'd just leave gay people alone. How about that?
Listen, it may not fix it, but it's sure a hell of a lot more fun than sitting at home watching CSI.
Are you mad that you got cut off in traffic? Suck a random dick. That's what I say. It's worked for me for years. How dare you, sir? Tell me how to live.
I know. This is a man who, to quote Wendy, is not sexually active. So Stacy is like, she's like, well, would you continue this journey if I did see other people? I'm like, well, first of all, here's your problem. You're calling your relationship with TJ a journey. that's already too much. That's like what you say when you are starting some sort of group project or doing something in a corporation. But like when you're talking about your relationship, like calling it a journey, that's just like too formal.
Also, I'd appreciate it if you just stuck with the theme and called it a journey, you know? And so TJ is like, well, I would still care about you, but I wouldn't close myself off to other options myself. And she goes, okay, so, but you don't even want to sleep with me. He's like, sex was never casual for me. I never did that. But you did. Yes, you did. Because she told us that you did have sex with females and your other partners, which she didn't specify what those were. But that you didn't want to have sex with females anymore. And isn't that, she worded it in some funky way in the first episode.
All I have to say
is, you don't
want
to have sex with females until you're married. So get out of here with that, with your cement dick. Get out of here with your cement dicks.
All I have to say is, I think it's adorable that he says, I wouldn't close myself off to other options. That is adorable that he's implying there's other options. So TJ is like, he's like, you know, I want to help you because I care about the situation, you know, you've been in, and I know it wasn't great or easy, but if I'm only doing it so I can get you, then I'm just as fake as everybody else. Okay, I just want to be on TV. Stacy's like, well, there's a part of me that wants to hear you say, like, no, I want to be with you. I would vomit. She goes, I would vomit. She goes, I would vomit, or, you know, melt into a puddle of tears, but mainly I'd probably vomit. I would be hunched over a toilet thinking about how I lost you. I would be just spewing chunks left to right, spraying them like I was Linda Blair in The Exorcist if I were not with you, Stacy. Mm.
And he's like, well, why do you think that I'd be? Because she's like, well, there's part of me that wants to hear you say, you know, I want to be with you, you know. And he's like, well, why do you think that I'd be like, okay with that? You know, I didn't say it wouldn't bother me. Sweetie, if I really love and care about you, then I want you to be good for you. And then you see me for who I am. Oh, I see.
I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah, I'm already leaving you. Cut it out with your word salad. Word salad would taste better than what you served today.
And she goes, so you want me to choose you? He goes, I would like you to, but you don't have to. I'm like, but don't you hear what she just said? She's like, I want you to choose me. And it's just funny to me that he is all about this very traditional approach to romance. Everything has to be very, very traditional. No sex before marriage, doing all the proper things. But the one thing that he doesn't want to do that's traditional is have the woman pick him instead of him saying, I choose you. It's just strange what he picks and chooses to be traditional.
So then we go to Wendy and her sister Ivy. And Wendy is dressed like Hans and Franz. Okay, do you remember on SNL way back in the, I'm sorry, this ages myself, but you know, I am old. And back in the day, there were characters named Hans and Franz. There were these two German brothers. They were German, right? And they were based on Arnold Schwarzenegger, but they were like huge muscles, but they were done with, you know, prosthetics, not even prosthetics, like pillows under like their arms puffy, with pantyhose to look like skin over their arms. That's what Wendy looked like she was wearing. What was that about?
I, It was crazy. I feel like I appreciated like that it was cool that the designer made that cool structure out of the sleeves, but it sort of looked like Blue Michelin Man. Or it also sort of looked like an old timey underwater like suit, like the kind where like you have the helmet on that's attached to the surface and you're walking around under there and you're like picking up starfish. It's just like the arms were just so big and
picking
puffy,
up starfish.
Like, you know, funny. Examining things. It was like, I was like, is this?
Yeah, like an old, like in 1920s carnival strongman or whatever.
It was so, like, it was all of these things. It was Hans and Franz. It was vintage aquatic suit. It was Michelin Man. It was astronaut. It was just so much. It was like, like a radio. It's like at a nuclear power plant or something, or when like a nuclear engineer would have to put their hands in the gloves through the glass.
You know? It was a lot.
It was so crazy.
It was a lot, and Wendy needs to do more because this is another, it's like kind of Giselle. Like, here's another scene with Giselle's daughters. They're going away again for a week. And this is kind of Wendy's too, because it's like, here's Wendy talking to her mom about wanting to change her career. Like,
well, luckily her mom is super funny this season. So,
yeah, her mom makes Wendy worth it for sure.
Susan's best season by sure. far.
I feel like Susan, I don't know. Susan's really always had a good season. I don't think Susan's ever had a bad season.
Susan's always been entertaining, but I feel like this is the season where I feel like Susan is really just like, to me, she's hilarious every single scene. And she was
well,
so
she's
funny
really
this time.
Owning her threatening Christianity, which I think is funny because, mm-hmm. you know, she's like kind of, I want to say waddled on the line, but that's not nice. She's not waddling. I'm sorry. I started watching Penguin on HBO. She's not waddling, but what do you call it? Swaddling the line? No. Towing the line? I don't know.
Towing the line.
Balancing, yeah. teetering. She's kind of teetering on the line between like, I'm super religious and also I'll murder you. And now she's mm-hmm. really got that down where she's like threatening. Like when she says, I'll pray
straddling.
For you, it's like a threat. Yes, yeah, straddling. Thank you. So she's threatening you with Jesus, which I really like. Like, I'm a Christian woman. I am praying for you. It's like, you know, babies start falling from trees. You know, old men start falling yeah. down on the street. A storm cloud comes over and rains dead frogs onto cars.
Yeah. She's really got it down.
She's amazing. So, she's my hero, in other words.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
So Wendy meets up with Ivy and her sister Ivy. And basically Wendy is saying like, you know, like she's going to talk to mom. And Ivy's like, well, what conversation are you having? And Wendy's like, well, I haven't told her that I've resigned. And Ivy's like, I mean, you haven't told her that, but you brought me here. Basically, Ivy's like, wait, I have to be here. I'm going to be like, I'm going to be collateral damage in this. Why did you drag me into this?
Why does it feel like last year that Wendy wrote that email where she's like, I resign? Wasn't that last year? Is that this year?
It was like, it feels like a very long time. It was this season, but it feels like a long time ago.
It does for some reason. I thought that was a long time ago. So then we see a flashback, well, to 2 months ago. There you go. And she's like, finally, Eddie, I did it on my own terms on email. And he's like, wow. And so then Ivy is like, well, you haven't told her and you brought me here. Are you fucking crazy? She's like, just eat your calamari, Ivy.
You know, Nigerian children, you really only have three options: a doctor, a lawyer, and if you're feeling really, really adventurous, you can be an engineer. I know some of the things I've decided to do can be unconventional. However, we are exploring our passions because we can.
What are you hitting on your mic? Are you hitting it?
Oh, that was my leg accidentally hit the bass. You hear this?
Yeah. Sounds like you're underwater. It sounds like an underwater noise, like a, you know, things well, moving under a pool. We're sticking with the Wendy underwater theme.
I know,
for this
I'm
team.
Like, I'm being very immersive in my Wendy impersonation. So
you're really carrying that underwater thing.
Sorry, way people, into for the strange it. I love noises. It. What can I say? So they sit down. Susan joins, or Susan's like, "Oh Lord!" Oh, so they get their drinks, and Susan's like, "Oh Lord, bless this food in Jesus' name, Amen. Bless everything. We're going to eat. We're going to clean it." And then Wendy like turns around. She's like, "Oh, excuse me, sir. Can I get like another like appetizer, or can I get a napkin over here, whatever?" And Susan's like, "She's talking and I'm praying."
She's like, how rude.
She's suddenly,
You are praying while in the middle of an order, though. That's how Susan rolls, though. The waiter's still there. When he goes, please get my mother some more alcohol, she's like, now I pray. The waiter hasn't even left. So when he's like, oh, and also, she goes, how rude, you interrupted my prayer. No, your prayer interrupted a drink order, okay? I think everybody, the most religious person can agree, the drink order comes first, okay? Wine first, prayer second, okay? Gotta wait. Wine will not.
Susan's like, how rude. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And Wendy's like, thank you, Mom. She goes, see what you have interrupted. It was a good prayer. It was so good. It's like when people interrupt just when you're about to get to the punchline, you ruin the entire joke. That's what you did, Wendy. You ruined the entire prayer.
Well, guys, sorry, Mom, but, you know, last time I saw you was my 40th birthday party.
Yeah, Susan's like, I'm trying to erase the memory of you on that boat going around in circles. So Ivy's like, yeah, that was quite fun. And Wendy's like, well, I'm just glad the party brought us all together and we're in such a great place. So, Mom, I've got something to tell you. She goes, you're pregnant. No. And Ivy's like,
she's like, no, I just got this body. You think I'm giving this shit away to another little fucking brat? So I read on Reddit that you get a citation from the governor for requesting it. I don't know why I thought that was so funny that Wendy's like, hey, everybody, I got a citation if she requested it. To request a citation from a governor, you can, one, review the guidelines, two, complete an application form, three, submit the request, four, submit the request before 30 days, which I don't know why I thought that was funny. But I don't know what I kind of preferred when Quad bought herself a Lexus and presented it to herself and then acted shocked that she got a Lexus at her party.
Right. Well, I feel like when you get a citation, I imagine hearing this, I imagine the point is that like you're part of an organization, you want to honor someone in your organization for the great work that they do. So you apply to get them like a citation from the governor and it's like, look at their great work. But it is kind of funny to apply to get a citation from the governor for your 40th birthday.
For yourself. Can I just get a citation? Hey, I just quit all of my jobs and I'm really into YouTubing now. Can I get a citation from the governor? That would really boost my numbers.
I mean, we're laughing, but I'm like, I'm going to get a citation for Watch What Crappens. I want hot Maryland governor to give us a citation. Yes, sir.
I love that you do it in a different state too. Like, you don't even do our home state. You'll just go to a different Moore. State. Mr. Moore. You're like, guess what? I'm requesting a citation from Puerto Rico because I love their food.
my friend from college, this is random, but my friend from college was elected as the state comptroller for Maryland. So I'll be like, hey, Brooke, can we get a citation from the comptroller's office? a mid-tier citation.
That's funny. So she's trying to, you know, Ivy's like, I need to exit this chat. Can I exit? She's like, no. So, Mom, you know, we've talked, you know, literally seasons now about me not wanting to do things and doing them only because I feel like I have to for you. So that being said, and Susan's the table starts shaking. She's like, Mom, stop it. A fork starts rising in the air. Mom, mother. She's like, in Jesus' name, the fork comes down. Okay, finish.
So Wendy's like, yeah, I just want...
I don't care. I just want it to be true. I want it to be true.
Between the invocation of Linda Blair earlier in Stacey's scene and now Linda's mom, I mean, and now Susan basically
Susan's anger.
Christian spirits to levitate things. This is a very evocative episode already.
I want to see Susan's anger take control and see her power. I think ever since I saw Wicked, you know, because that whole thing is like, I finally decided I've got power, you know, and then she does it. And I just want that for Susan. I want Susan's anger to find. Because Wendy and her sister are so scared of Susan. I really want to see Susan's power. I need to see it. I need it. I need Susan to have that turn.
Yeah, she will. In time, she will. It was actually Susan who was controlling that motorboat. Wendy was just trying to come to the dock, but Susan's like, no, I'll make you go in circles.
I read your email. I have access to your AOL account.
Yeah. So, Mom, I want to let you know that I recently resigned from my position at my university. And she goes, are you crazy? Ivy's like, oh, boy. Ivy's like hiding under her napkin.
Do you want to be stabbed with a crucifix? Whoa, mom, you're usually more subtle with your Christianity threats.
Then I will pray for you.
So you can see that Susan, first of all, I'm sure Susan already knows this, but you can see that Susan kind of wants to kill her. And she's like, I lost my appetite. Just kidding. Where's the waiter? So you're resigning from your university to go where? She goes, it's not about to go where, mom. I'm already there. YouTube is everywhere. It's the biggest channel on the planet.
And Ivy goes, tell her your plans, which is a hilarious setup because Ivy knows that Wendy has no plans whatsoever. And Wendy's like, well, I want to focus on spending time with my kids and my talk show. And, you know, me resigning from my position doesn't mean I'm no longer a doctor. I still have my 4 degrees. And, you know, maybe I'll find a part-time position at another university. And Susan's like, spending time with kids, that's the weak way out. Don't spend time with kids. Spend time with students at school. As a professor.
And she's like, well, I've always bragged about my kids and I've stood by it. But right now, I'm so lost. And the only thing that will help me. Dear Lord Jesus, please deliver me some fried calamari to the table. That worked. It worked. Thank God. Oh, thank God.
Well, you know, I felt like I wasn't being tolerated and I was not being appreciated. And she's like, well, I don't want you guys to be chained and stuck in one place. So if you're not satisfied, move on. You have all the credentials. I did that. Those are my credentials. I made those credentials for you. She's like, yes, you did. You did. And she's like, okay, well, God bless you. And all doors will be open for you in Jesus' name.
And if they're not, mom, that's enough. So Wendy, so it ended up going easy, you know. So she's telling us some of the things that she's decided to do have been unconventional, like, you know, selling the devil's lettuce and the Dr. Wendy show. But you can be who you want to be, not who your parents want you to be.
And in this case, Wendy has chosen to be someone who's trying to capitalize on her Real Housewives fame in whichever way she can.
And good for her.
If one thing doesn't work, finally. Then she'll try another.
Yeah, good for her for finally just being like, I want to raise my kids and do my YouTube show. Fuck off. Because I feel like before she's felt like she has to do something and she's been kind of struggling. And, you know, you don't have to want to do that. You can just do nothing to you. I mean, not that that's nothing, raising three children and doing a YouTube show. I'm not saying that that's nothing. I'm just saying you don't have to go the traditional route. So good for her. You go, girl. And she's like, I still have my degrees. I was like, of course. Okay. Can't end a scene without that.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I'm Lindsey Graham, host of Wondery's show, American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history. Presidential lies, environmental disasters, corporate fraud. In our latest series, entrepreneur Lou Pearlman becomes the mastermind behind two of the biggest pop groups in the world, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. He also oversees a sprawling business empire that includes a charter jet company, restaurants, and real estate. But Pearlman's successful facade crumbles after he's sued by the boy bands for siphoning millions from them. And soon, investigators discover that Pearlman is keeping his empire afloat through an even more devious scheme. Follow American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest seasons only on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.
Now it's time to go speed dating with Giselle and Ashley. I was like, is this a setup for, is this to like get us ready for the dating show? Because aren't the two of them going to be on the dating show with Luann and Shannon Bedore? Right.
Yeah.
So they are going to go dating. And so Giselle and Ashley show up at this place and they're sort of talking about like, oh, my God, like, what if we both like the same guy? What are we going to do? If I like a guy, I want to be able to, you know, like, not don't like, I don't want you to be like getting in the way. Like, don't even try it. And so Ashley says, oh, you want to pee on him? So she's like, yeah, I want to pee on him. So they they go to the speed dating. They meet up with this guy, Brant, who is basically like, so are you guys ready to do some dating with some men and figure out your future possibly?
And this is just so dating on the show because their guy hooking them up is a gay guy and they're having the speed dating at a gay bar. Did you notice that? There's a big pride.
I did not notice that. I did not notice the pride flag.
Which is about as realistic of a dating event as I would expect these two to be having on this show. So here they go. Load up the gay guys. Let's give them a go. And Brant, Brant is very cute. And he has discovered a Groupon Botox. And the only thing that moves is his mouth. So he's just very like, would you like to meet a gay man? Let's get going. You each have 30 seconds. Go. So they get a lot of TJs, a lot of under fives lined up against the wall. God knows how many blowjobs those guys gave to get here, but here they are. And they start going through the dates. And Giselle's like, I've never done speed dating. Actually, I just call my dating life dating because that's about how long they stay around. 30 minutes? Is that it? Normally, I don't ask them to leave. They just do somehow. Is it the fuchsia wall?
Yeah. So we see just like a big montage, like this one guy who brings, like a giant thing of, flowers to Ashley. And it's just like, you know,
he was creepy. Banter. He's like, oh, I know it's your birthday. I know it's your favorite flower. Cause I did some research. Ew. Get out of here with your Google.
I was too big. It was like such a big ostentatious. It was like a giant, basket of flowers. You know, give like a little bouquet maybe if you're going to do that, but not like a huge thing. It was like too much. It was like
someone like Ashley's has received so many flowers and they get them when their husband cheats. So she doesn't want to see those. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Giselle is telling, you know, during this montage, Giselle tells us, she's like, I'm just looking for somebody nice, fun, go to a museum, walk to the park, all those things. And the producer goes, so you want a TJ? It's so shady. She's like, no TJ.
It's kind of funny because wasn't she dating that guy who was getting blowjobs in the park? Remember?
Yeah.
Sure. So like, what are you looking for? Yeah. It's like guys who like parks.
If that's true, you think parks should be off limits. So there's just like more of these guys coming through, etc. But like then we finally get like a hit because there's this guy, Josh. And Josh winds up having very nice banter with Ashley. Josh is sort of like, he kind of looks like Lance Bass, but with like a perm. You know,
and he looks like Beavis. Yeah. Who is this Beavis headed motherfucker coming for Ashley right now?
I actually liked this guy quite a bit and they hit it off. So they're doing well. And then Giselle also winds up. She winds up connecting with a guy named Namanse. Is that his name again? I forget his name. I forgot how you say his name.
Namanse.
No. I think.
I thought it was name. Namance. I don't know. And he's cute. He's hot, basically. It's not the most exciting talk in the world. They just talk about where they're from, but he's really hot and bald. And he looks like Sherman. She likes that.
Yeah, they put a side by side up with Sherman
and her ex, Jamal. She's like, obviously, I have a type. Bah. He's already cheated on me, so I'm completely into him. And then Josh is like, I can't compete with those flowers, right? But like, how are you today? She's like, good. And I don't know. I found this guy to be a cheese ball personally. But, he likes sports. And so Ashley's into it. And he was a wrestler and stuff. And she goes, well, you were a wrestler, but you don't have cauliflower ear. And he's like, look closer. It's very small. Just kidding. I just had a mom who was like, wear your headgear, honey. And I was like, all right, mom.
And she's like, oh, good. You listen to your mom. He's like, I do. She's like, he's like, my mom is very important to me. So I actually grew up on a farm, which is crazy. By the way, okay, so I like this guy, but the biggest red flag is when a guy on Bravo says he just really cares about his mom. Okay, we've been down this path before. Oh, my mom means everything to me. I just want to get slow. Oh, it is fuckboy flag right there when you start talking about your mom and how much you love her to the girl. Always.
Yeah. Well, I think you're supposed to do it at first, right? Because girls are supposed to date someone who's nice to their mom.
Right, but that's why they do it. Because it's like a disarming thing.
Yeah.
And it's also a way for them to prove to outsiders that they're still good. They're not fuckboys. They're like good guys. They care about their mom.
They're like nice to their mom, you guys.
Yeah.
So Ashley's like, oh my God, you know what? I love farms.
When did that happen? All the time that Karen's talked about her farm. Karen's talked about her farm for like four straight years, and Ashley has never said a thing. And all of a sudden she's like, I want to have a chicken coop. I want a pitchfork. I love hay. It's like, what? Like, where did this come from?
Just feel like I've never heard anybody say, like, I love farms. It's just, it just seems like such a broad thing. So he's like, wait, really? And she's like, yeah, I used to ride horses. Like, I was a barrel racer. And he goes, okay, so we didn't have horses. So he's when like, I it was say a farm, farm, I guess like mini farm, was, like chickens and
it
cows.
Was a Bitcoin. It was a Bitcoin farm. Different kind of farm.
Yeah, he says it was a mini farm, and I'm like, okay, did you have a farm, or did you have dogs in the backyard? Okay. And he's like, well, we had chickens and we had cows, which I think this is a farm, right?
It's a farm, but it sounds like, I mean, there's a big spectrum of farms in terms of traditional agricultural farms. Like, there's some that have sprawling, you know, fields where there's like the ranches basically, and there's some that like are going to be growing vegetables, and then some that will have like horses and all that big stuff. But there are a lot of kind of like, there are a lot of farms that are just kind of like hobby farms, I feel like, where there is like a cow and a chicken, and like you take care of the cow, you take care of your chickens, and it's just like fun. It's like fun to have. It's like homesteading. It's like Whitney on Mormon Wives homesteading. They are going to have maybe like a little farm, but it's not going to be like, they're not going to be producing, you know, vegetables for the community, you know, but they can homestead a little bit. So maybe when he says mini farm, maybe that's what he means.
Yeah, but if and you say I grew up on a farm,
my dissertation about farms.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm from Texas, but you know, when they when you say like I'm from a farm, if you're from just a house with a chicken and a cow, that's not really, that's poser material right there.
I would
that's
say
like, my mom's a hobbyist, but then you just say, oh, I grew up, you know, my mom was really close, so close to animals that we had a couple farm or something, but you don't say like I grew up on a farm and then try and roll it back. I think maybe she was horse shaming him too, you know, because I felt like he was like, oh God, she likes horse farms and I'm not that fancy. I don't have any horse. Those are expensive, you know? So maybe he's like, well, it's just, it's not really even a farm, I guess. I guess I have pets because I have a cow.
The cow confuses me because, like, I know of people who are like trying to do like a little bit of the farm thing, and then they have like, they'll have like chickens. So it's like farm-esque, but it's like chickens are don't take up that much space, and they're pretty, like, I think, like, relatively low maintenance compared to
chickens,
like,
are terrorists, by the way. Don't get chickens.
They're out of their minds.
Everybody thinks they want fucking chickens and. So you get them and they chase you around and peck at your feet and like hurt you. They'll hurt you. They will chase you around. They're terroristas.
They are also hilarious. I went to like 10 years ago, I went to Kauai, you know, in Hawaii. And that island, what I love about the island is that, like, fatefully many years ago, there was a hurricane that came by and there were some chickens that were like in a coop, and like the hurricane blew the coop open and all the chickens got loose, and now the island is overrun with chickens, and you just see these frantic chickens just out of their mind, just racing around, and they are they're like Leah McSweeney, you know, just throwing torches, and they just are like, they just think that everything's going to shit, and they are alarmist. And I just, you just are standing there and they're just zipping around. You're like, why are you so bothered, chickens? We're just trying to get to the beach and you're acting like we're trying to murder your whole family.
Yeah, chickens are crazy. And the hardest part of video games, like Breath of the Wild, you know, like a Zelda game when you have to play, is catching the fucking chicken. I mean, I've taken years catching the chicken, you know, where can't do it. So anyway, chickens are monsters. And so she's like, well, I want chickens. I want to have a chicken coop. That's my goal. Ashley, aim higher, girl. My God.
You could do that, you know.
You can do it right now. Just put it on the kitchen countertop where you put everything else. It's where you're raising your children, for Christ's sake. Just
chicken coop is the easiest goal of the farm. It's the cow that's hard. It's the horse that's hard, not the chicken coop.
So he's like, well, as you should have a chicken coop. So I guess that was a match. I don't know. I didn't get it. I personally say find some hair product, buddy. But they end up, Giselle's like, I like Josh for her rot. And she's like, I did put a yes because farms. And so then she, you know, they're like, so Giselle, you like names? And she's like, yeah. And then so now they have to make an announcement and they kick out all the, you know, gays. And then we go to Karen and Ray's house. Dun, dun, dun. Ray, 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 Ray. What you doing, Ray, Ray?
It's like, well, I'm watching the new pool cleaner over here.
We've got a new pool cleaner. She comes out in a bikini and a
she's like
little robe. She's like, da, 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 da. Oh, it's a machine. It's a machine pool cleaner. Well, all right. Pool boy. No. Well, all right.
He's like, it has four wheels. Look, it has four wheels. Look, it goes up to the side. It's going up. It's going down. She's like,
yes, yes, yes. I see that, honey. That's very nice. Very nice. Okay, darling. Let's go over here to the gazebo. Okay, stop staring at the pool boy.
It's just nice to have a friend in this family who can drive.
All right, Ray. That's enough.
He's like, wow, it rained a little bit yesterday, but it didn't bother the pool toy. The pool toy is my friend.
Okay, Ray. So, you know, I've been waiting and walking, waking up every morning since the accident because I find that I have that quiet time to reflect on everything that I'm going through. And I realize that I was an emotional wreck that night. And it made me reflect because I was so angry with you. It was your fault, the anger that I experienced. And I'm going to put a little bit of blame on that pool toy. I'm not going to lie. That pool toy was probably to blame too.
I just didn't know if our marriage was going to make it. Hold on. Let me sip on this lemonade. No shout out intended to Beyonce. Love you, Beyonce. Call me. Sorry about everything going on with Jay-Z. I'm sure it's all lies. Love you, B. Talk about me again.
You know, I felt a lack of support from Ray prior to the accident, and it just bubbled over. Well, actually, the champagne bubbled over, but then that champagne did remind me of Ray. So it was like Ray champagne. Ray and the champagne both bubbled over.
I got mad at the champagne. I said, screw you, champagne. I'm not listening to you. And I swallowed it so it couldn't talk back to me anymore.
So she is basically having the gut, the balls, to stand up here and say that it's Ray's fault. She got a DUI because of his lack of support prior to the accident. It just sent her over the edge. And she got so drunk that she got in trouble with the popo.
Yeah.
And that's some nerve. And Ray is just Teflon. Ray does not care. Ray is just like, I'll be dead. Like, literally, what do you want from me? Like, you're not getting anything. He's like, listen, I'm trying to be extra supportive. You know, look, I got something that could drive you places. Your new pool boy. Come on, pool boy. Give Karen a ride.
Ray, that's not funny, Ray.
Hold on. I do have to go to the Home Goods.
Ray, this is not great, Ray. You'll get there soon, honey.
Listen, Ray, I've been going through a lot. Ashley's been talking about making a coop for those dirty birds, and it's just stressful. Because, well, you know, I've been feeling like I've been trying to be extra supportive of you this season, this situation, and, you know, I've, you know, sort of been a taxi cab to you a little bit and driving you around. It's nice, you know? So that way you don't have to be behind the wheel at this point. I'm like, she can't be behind the wheel. It's not that she doesn't have to be. It's that she can't. She's not allowed.
And she's like, I can't say how grateful I am, but, you know, I just don't think we can ever take our marriage for granted again because I've already had two infractions, Ray. I'm getting a real citation from the governor. And so Ray's like, yeah, you know, we've been together a long time. And they've been together 20 years, 28 years. And she's like, and I ain't aged a day, Ray, Ray. And he's like, I know. I don't know how it just happens to me. She's like, oh, you look good.
Our marriage is not perfect, but we work on it. And when it's, you know, losing a few bricks and mortar, we repair it with more spackle. We just fight for it. We have love spackle in between our bricks and our mortars, and our friendship and our love is one thing that brings us through, and we're in a good place, and that's why we're an institution, because you have bricks in the institution. Yes.
And so, kissy time. So then we go to Kierna and Mia having lunch. And Mia, you know, performative asks me, is like,
okay, Gordon, it's important for us to talk through things. So refreshing. Let's stay that way, Gordon. Poor Mania, Gordon. Anybody hearing this? Anybody have an audio straitjacket for Gordon? He's really losing his mind, Gordon.
Hi, you gave me the lunch menu, but I think I need the Mania menu because that's Gordon's in Mania, so I'm in Mania now also with him. So Kierna walks in and she's wearing a polo shirt that has Greg's organization on it, and I guarantee you Greg was like, look,
I'm not so into you being on this show, but if you're going to be on this show, you have to promise me that at least once you're going to wear my polo shirt. Because she, her makeup is done, her hair is on, she looks beautiful, and then she's wearing this polo shirt. And you, it wasn't like, oh, I just came from work, because she's all done up. Like she put time into her look. She's like, fine, I'll wear Greg's polo shirt today. You can't tell me that that was straight from work.
So she comes in and Kiana's like, okay, you know, I'm straight out of the office. You know, God, Greg's family really loves me. So I went in today and I had a note on my desk that said, this isn't your desk, you stupid bitch. Get out of this office. No one wants you here. They are just so fun. Just treating me like one of the family. Just love it here.
So Kieran was like, okay, well, tell me where you're coming from. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on with you, Mia? And I think it's so funny that Mia came out of nowhere for Kieran to basically to haze her. And now she needs Kieran's advice and help with this whole situation. So Mia's like, well...
And she by needs the way, a newbie because no one else will listen to her fake drama with her husband anymore. So she's like, you'll do that.
Guys, I can trust her. She's dating someone who used to be a social worker.
She's in the field. She keeps saying she's in the field. I'm like, her boyfriend is in the field and she helps out in the office.
She's in the field of psychology.
She's like, here's what you should do with Gordon. Does he have blackheads? Does he have clogged pores? Okay, let's take care of those.
Does he have oily patches?
Listen, I know that Gordon has mania. We get it. What is his skin type?
Does he need Botox? That might help. So, and also, by the way, they keep showing the clip of Jassy's lunch when Mia is so shady and is like, oh yeah, there's Greg. He works, he's a social worker. Yeah, you can tell. So she's like kind of like shading Greg for being a social worker. But now, of course, look who comes crawling back for Greg's advice through Kierna.
Yeah.
So Mia's talking about how, you know, she has to deal with Gordon's mood. She has to work around it and negotiate with it. And, you know, this is like not something that's new to her household. And, you know, and Gordon's going through a really bad episode and she's just trying to help and understand
him.
She's
such an asshole. She's such an asshole, really. Oh my God, Gordon's going through such a bad episode. He is not. He was just on the phone with you like, yes, you know, that's great. We're working everything out, raising the kids together. Everything is great. She's like,
he's insane right now.
She's still talking about him getting mad that he's confronting her on TV about the whole ink parentage thing. She is the worst, but also really funny. So, yep. Like, they can't make me hate you, Mia.
So, yeah. So Mia's basically like,
yeah, you know, Kay's in the field, so she also shows compassion and she shows understanding.
And so Kieran is basically saying like, well, I know you're probably used to dealing with Gordon under these circumstances. And it's probably because you've dealt with it in your marriage and you feel like, you know, oh, I can handle it. It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. And Kieran basically says that despite her differences with Mia, like when it comes to mental health stuff, she's always going to be there and help someone. And, you know, she's like, I don't have a professional take on this because I'm not a professional. I just come by the office and drop off his food at a social worker office. But they probably need to be apart.
I would like to interrupt this podcast to point out that Bueller has a rainbow coming out of his butt behind me.
I can't see it. Wait, hold on. Oh my goodness, he does. There's a rainbow shining.
Because a listener years ago gave me this Trixie Monocle octopus thing that's like a rainbow thing that you put on your window. Her daughter made it. I love it. And it's on my window. And so a certain time of day, it shines in a rainbow into the room. And Bueller is just sitting right.
Bueller right is on the indeed. Bueller is indeed the pot of gold. The butt of gold
Bueller,
at the end of the rainbow.
You're shooting a rainbow out of your butthole, Bueller. Oh my gosh.
Bueller's okay, like, I so want a chicken coop.
What'd you say?
I said Bueller's like, I want a chicken coop.
So then, yeah. So Kieran It's like, so do you think his trigger is being triggered? Do you think his behavior is being triggered? Because you were fine the other day. And she's like, oh, my God. But then you didn't see when it wasn't on TikTok. Then he came back from the bathroom and he was really mean. But I didn't put that part on TikTok. So people are missing the mania because of my TikTok posting. I'm just not posting proper manias is, I guess, the problem. I really need to, like, up my mania posting, I think is what you're saying. So I went to lunch with Mia, and she said I needed to post more of your mania. So let's work on
that. Kiana's like, well, I think it would trigger anybody. I mean, this whole situation. And, you know, he's probably feeling a bit emasculated. You know, in his mind, he still thinks that there is a chance. She goes, yeah, you're right. It is a problem, you know, because, you know, this morning he goes, I think we should, like, get back together and just not be intimate. Like, do you think Ink would be okay with that? And I'm like, hashtag mania, get out of it. And Kiana's like, no. Like, look, basically she's like, you guys need to get some space. Like, this is not a healthy situation.
And Kieran is like, okay, you know, also, just to clear this up, so is Ink the dad? Like, what's going on? Because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speak on that if somebody asks me, you know. And she's like, oh, well, we're going to get a test, but I personally don't think that Jeremiah is Ink's father. Now, I told everybody that didn't she say the baby came from in vitro or something? Why are we acting like, I forget what her deal was, how she said she had Jeremiah, but I thought she said she had in vitro.
Now, look,
I'm so confused.
I personally don't think that Jeremiah, well, first of all, she says, I don't think that Jeremiah is Ink's birth father, which is, I would say that's probably true too, because Ink is a few decades older than Jeremiah, but I know what she meant. And she goes like, is he stepping in and fathering this little boy? Abso-frickin-lutely. Is he maybe the father? Absolutely. But do I think he's the father? Absolutely. But is he probably the father? Absolutely. But do we know that he's not the father? Absolutely. It's like, wait, which one is it?
If we were watching The Godfather and you took God out of the title, would that be Ink? Probably, absolutely. So, what are you saying?
Who do you think is Jeremiah's father? It's Gordon Ink. What? Gordon. Go Ink.
Gordon Ink. It's Gordon Ink.
So Kieran is like, okay, so yeah. She goes, well, I'm willing to take a paternity test for Gordon, but
Gordon's not in support of a paternity test right now.
Oh yeah, what a bastard. Yeah. So Kieran is like, so, you know, you can kind of break it up a bit, you know, but this isn't appropriate. So, you know, I'm going to have Greg send you tools so you can have a checklist for yourself to make sure that you want to try some of those techniques, okay?
Oh, you have mania techniques? That would be great.
Sure. We're going to get you a packet together. It's going to be great. We have a very specific package tailored to you called Don't Brag About Your Fuckboy to Your Husband, Sugar Daddy, Who Has Mania. Very specific, and bring it on TV. It's very specific to your needs, okay?
So now we go to a date with Ashley and Josh. And
what is this booklet of techniques? I'm sorry, I can't get it out of my head. What techniques are you sending to Mia? What are you talking about? I'll send you a pamphlet of techniques. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm sure
Kierna's full of shit too. Okay, go on.
No,
go ahead.
I don't think so. I'm sure there are resources that are like, if your loved one is a bipolar person and this situation happens or that situation happens, here are ways you can deal with it. That's probably what it is.
Okay.
So now we go over to Ashley and Josh, and they're on their date at Kick Axe Throwing. And Ashley's just saying, she's like, yeah, I had to go with Josh. You know, I had a great conversation with him. And then we see them talking about building a chicken coop. The chicken coop is like a new thing for her. And,
you know, this is real love because they're at an axe throwing place. So
yeah, that's where all the love starts on Bravo, is throwing those axes.
So he knows he only has one episode, so he pulls out his bachelorette trauma right away. They don't have time to spare, so he talks about how he had cancer. He had a really serious cancer, actually. It was thyroid cancer. What was it?
thyroid cancer. It's scary.
Yeah, thyroid cancer. That's like a serious, really serious. I mean, all cancer is serious, but that's scary. But, you know, he had cancer and he got through it and stuff, but he just wants to be a good example and all that stuff. So that was pretty good. That was pretty crazy that he did that. And then so Ashley is like, okay, so what are you looking for? And he's like, family oriented. Listen, I'm really into somebody who likes chicken coops.
She's like, oh my God, I love chicken coops. But the thing is, he's 30, which I think is going to be a problem. And she's trying to be like, well, he survived cancer. So he's like a mature 30. I'm like, yeah, but he's still 30. And that's not going to work out. Sorry.
Yeah. And she's like, do you mind that I have kids? And he's like, no, not at all. But I think the answer needs to be more like, no, you know, I've always wanted kids or something.
Yeah.
Not just like, I don't mind that you have them. You know, put them in a crate. Let's keep going.
He's not interested. He's like, no, not at all. Do we have to see them or talk to them or interact with them? Yeah, I think you want to be like, I love kids. Oh, my God. That's my dream, to be a father to someone.
Yeah. But you don't have, you know, look, you don't have to have chemistry with Ashley. We've watched Ashley manufacture chemistry for 10 years now. Like, what season is this? 10? 9? Yeah. 9 years.
Something like that. So, season 9. Yeah. But either way, it's a nice date, and they wind up kissing at the end. So it seems like there's like a little bit of a spark there, at least for now. And now we go over to Mia's place with the kids, and Jeremiah has like thrown slime onto the ceiling. she's like, get that off my ceiling. I feel like you're going to have a whole bunch of marks and stuff up there. And so she's like, okay. So they're just sort of like doing some, they're like making cookies and stuff, like just hanging out in the kitchen. And Jeremiah's like, hey, why do you and Dad live in two different places? And Mia's like, well, remember I told you we're getting a divorce? He's like, I don't think you explained that to me. She's like, I did?
Yeah, look at her. Not even telling them. She doesn't tell the kids. And then she waits until they're on camera and is like, don't you remember? I told you we're getting divorced. He's like, no. He's like, he said, say what? I don't think you explained that to me. She goes, I didn't. No, why don't you just do it on fucking camera, you classy asshole, Mia. What the fuck, man? So he goes, okay, then why are you getting divorced? And she's like, well, you know, mommy and daddy can't really get along all the time. Does that make you sad? And he's like, it's kind of a mixed feeling. She's like,
a mixed feeling. Okay, I'll take that.
So then Gordon comes in and he's like, so how's everything going? And Jeremiah's like, we're talking about our feelings. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, okay. And she's like, yeah, the kids want to do cookies. And she goes, so they thought it'd be kind of cool if you came to help. And by the way, Gordon, okay, can you hear me, Gordon? Does your mania allow you to hear me right now? So right when you were walking in, the kids and I were actually having a conversation about our relationship and things like that. So I'm actually glad that you're here because maybe you can help navigate it. Okay, so I was explaining to Jeremiah who maybe your son, but maybe not. I don't know. Oh, sorry. I hope no one heard that. Anyway, I was explaining to Jeremiah that mommy and daddy are getting divorced, and that does not mean that we don't love them any less. We're always going to be a family, right? So are you still sad, Jeremiah?
What's wrong with her? For this
kid, jeez.
God. And he's like, yeah. She goes, why? Explain to me why you're sad. Because his parents are fucking getting a divorce, you asshole. You just told him on national TV. What's wrong with you?
And he's like, because I want you to be together.
And she goes, well, you want us to be together? I mean, well, we are practically. Daddy just lives right upstairs. Can't you hear him banging his head into walls and falling down and screaming at people who aren't there? He has mania, honey.
And Gordon's like, but isn't it okay for him to be sad? I would be upset if he wasn't sad.
Oh my God, the mania has taken over. Guys, everyone take cover. He's about to blow.
Gosh. So he goes, I mean, even though we may want it, it doesn't mean the kids do. She goes, oh, so you do want us to divorce? Wow. Who are you today? Gordon or Bill? Gordon, Bill, who's in there? Speak to me, Gordon.
So he says, you know, I resign myself to the fact that it's, you know, it's that it's kind of whatever. Like, you've shown that that's that. And like, that's what you've wanted. And I've resigned myself to life after Mia. So he's kind of being like, I didn't want this. You wanted this. So, which is sort of like, you know, he's trying very, I shouldn't say he's trying, but he's, you could see he wants to say more, but he is holding back because the kids are there.
And she's just trying to manufacture consent in all of this. She's like, oh, so you do want it. He's like, no, I'm saying you want it. And I've resigned my life to life after me. And she goes, oh, sounds like a novel. So she's like, you know, I think what you and I both agree on is that we put the kids first, right? And he goes, yes. And I think we've done great. You know, that whole like not telling them until they're ready thing. We did great with that one. So she's like, yeah, you know, I just want to preserve their children. It's important to have an open dialogue, but I want to preserve their innocence, you know. So I just gaslight them and pretend they already know things. So then she sends them out. She brings them in. So she's like, come here, guys. Do you guys know what marriage is? And he's like, yes. And she goes, okay, what is it? And he's like, I don't know. She goes,
okay, marriage is what mommy and daddy are in. It's when you find someone that you love very, very much, and they have a lot of pamphlets that need to be stacked in return for lots of stacks of cash. So then you decide you want to spend your life with them. So you get married, and then you have babies. And
then Juju... They knew this moment was going to happen someday. Juju's like, I have a question. Where did you guys find each other? He's like, in Charlotte. But what place did you see her? Southeast Charlotte. But where were you? Met at a club. What type of club? Special club. What's the address of the club? Is it on Google Maps? What Yelp reviews does it have? Can I go to it? Does this sell out children?
She really is.
She's like, did it smell like hand lotion and gasoline? What?
Could you wear a ball gown? Watching them like tap dance around this. And then, of course, they show like a flashback to like 2019 of them saying during that game, we met at a strip club.
Yeah. And the way the editors were just like, they were playing like clown music in the background, by the way, while they were getting grilled. So then Mia's like, and don't you think she's probably heard at school? She's like trying to get it out of them. And maybe. Mia's like, okay. So Juju whispers to Gordon. Mia's still pretending everything's perfect over there. And Juju whispers to Gordon. And she's like, well, I have a question for you. And then Jeremiah, meanwhile, is like singing,
oh, mommy and daddy sitting in a tree.
And Mia's like,
I can't climb trees. But your dad probably can, because it's like he fell out of one and now there's birds flying around his head 24 hours a day. Mania.
So while Mia is like tending to Jeremiah, who's singing this like K-I-S-S-I-N-G song, Juju whispers to Gordon and goes, what if Mr. Ink actually marries mommy? God, it's so old. Gordon's like, wait. Huh? He's like, well, it's up to her. And Mia's like, what's that?
Nothing.
Mia's kids are picking up on everything.
Jeez. So rough. So she's like,
sometimes in marriage, people grow apart. Are you okay with mommy and daddy not spending forever together? And she's like, no, you can't marry Mr. Ink. You hear that? You get what you get and you don't get upset.
And I was like, whoa.
Just points at her and Gordon, like, you're married and
you chose this guy.
You chose this. And now, I mean, wow, that she hasn't even done a rhyme. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Juju laying down the law. I mean, it was amazing. And Mia's like, wow, coming from a 7-year-old is pretty strong. It's a pretty powerful statement. And I think that she's right. But I also gave this man 15 years of my life. And I do hope that one day she will learn to understand that. But that's going to come as she grows older.
Here's a rhyme for you, you little brat. It's not rash if he's run out of cash. Okay, go to your room.
If you got time to lean, you got time to clean up your mouth. Stop saying those things. I'm your mother. So the cookies come out and they're going to decorate the cookies and everything. And basically the kids go off to another room. And Mia's like, wow, crazy. So Gordon's like, look, my opinion is we need to have another conversation with those kids because that was a little disjointed. He's basically like, that caught me off guard. I just walked in to make cookies with the kids. And then all of a sudden we had to have this conversation. We should like do it again and do it properly.
And she's like, well, I've worked so hard to protect their innocence, you know, so I want to keep it that way.
And he's like, babe, Like, what about when they get married? You know, how are they going to view life at that point? You know, how are they going to view relationships? We have to help them understand what's going on, or they're going to repeat the cycles. You know, like, you've been married twice now, and I think he has too. Wasn't he married when he met Mia?
I think so. Yeah, he was.
And he's like, you know, and I don't want that life for them. And she's like, well, but I also want them to know their worth. And when it's time to leave, when he no longer has worth. And so then we see clips of their relationship and stuff. And her saying, you took my phone and locked me in a room. And him saying, well, you've been having an affair for 10 years.
So Mia's like, she's like, you know, I did, by the way, Gordon, I did meet up with Kay the other day. And she and her fiance, well, her boyfriend, whatever it is, he's in the mental health industry. She's in the field. And so, like, she did come to meet me for coffee. And she said, we need to build some boundaries. She starts doing the thing that you were saying Stacey was doing, which is instead of Mia saying, we need boundaries, she's like, Kiarna says we need to build boundaries. And Kiarna also says that you're a troubled man. And Kiarna also says that you have to stop coming over here during cookie time. So he's like, okay. She's like, yeah. And she thinks that, like, you living in the building is ludicrous. So you should move out because Kiarna says you should move out. He's like, yeah, but it's working for me. I think it's probably working for you too.
Yeah. She goes, well, I mean, it works for me in the most part. But, like, speaking of boundaries, Ink thinks I need to set more boundaries with you, you know, because I'm not emotionally available for him because I'm always so concerned about you, you know, what you've got going on. So I just don't have anything left in me to give.
That's you. Just a real fucking giver over there, Mia.
Yeah, she's like, I need to get this divorce and stop worrying about, like, you know, taking care of Gordon so I can move on and heal. And that's how I intend to live the rest of my life.
Yikes.
We'll see. We'll see. It's so messy. These Mia and Gordon scenes are just wild. Like,
that dropping so on messy. Your kids like that you're getting a divorce is really beyond the pale. Even for her. That was pretty shocking. It's just all brushed under the rug. Like, no, Bingy. Okay, go play with your... Go play with your fucking dolls now. The hell is wrong with you?
It's wild. But anyway, that was the end of the episode. It was still a fascinating and entertaining episode. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Be sure to get tickets to our shows at watchwithcrappins.com and be sure to join us on Patreon. And we will see you on our very next recap. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthews Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.